I don't know if I want to say lucky or the skilled angler, Mike Livingston, that just boated that 405-pound yellowfin tuna. Mike, welcome to the All Outdoors Radio Network.
Well, thank you. Is my buddy Timmy there?
I am, Mike. How's it going?
Pretty good, Timmy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, we got the co-conspirators lined up here, Mike. We're going to get you guys talking about it. We already got a little bit of rundown of what Tim did on the way down, getting you ready. And has it settled in on you, Mike, you know, in terms of what this means? And have you come back to Earth yet?
Well, yeah, the phone stopped ringing about Thursday, but I was a school teacher and a school administrator, and I had, former students call me that I haven't talked to in 20 years. So that was one great thing.
That's awesome. And they call the old teacher up and say, hey, how they want to know how you did it, what you're doing. And what's it feel like now? I mean, at this point in time, I mean, what's it feel like for you?
It just feels great. It was my time, and it was just my time to catch a great fish. And certainly there were people that put in a whole lot more time at the rail on these big fish than I did. But I'm just very lucky, as you said earlier, and I was very lucky to be on Mr. Lackey's boat. And I've been riding that for 19 or 20 years. We were trying to figure it out, but most of them were on the 5-day and down trips. But it's just great. I'm so happy, and I'm happy for the fleet too.
You bet. I know that there's something about Mike Lackey in that boat. You know, Tim's been there 9 years. You've been fishing it 19, 20 years. I mean, he seems to bring that out of people, loyalty and just sticking with them, you know, through whatever, you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, now he's always known as Bluefin Mike, so I don't know whether they're going to, I guess he's Yellowfin Mike.
Yellowfin Mike. Well, I know he always catches albacore on here. Tim and I were talking about that earlier. I'm sure you were on some of those early season trips, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You had a bigger bluefin earlier this year, right, Mike?
I got one last year.
Oh, last year.
Last year we got into that one. One guy got one close to 100, and I think my friend Bill got one over 80, and mine was just below, with 79.5 or something like that. So
that's a nice bluefin, though.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, Mike, I know the fish is going to Lyons and O'Haver. Are they making one copy, or are you getting a mount of the fish, and is the Vagabond office or the Vagabond operation getting one? How many mounts are they doing? Two?
Making two.
Uh-huh.
My wife wants to remodel the house and add a room, but I think we're going to put it in my daughter's room, my daughter's bedroom.
The yellowfin room.
Fish room, exactly. Up to this point, it's been the futon room. Now it's the fish room.
Yeah,
they do the most phenomenal job. I got a 343 mounted, and it is the most beautiful mount that I've ever seen. As a matter of fact, in that time frame, there was like a 343 and a 360 and a 365. We were getting a lot of big fish at Clarion at the time, and three different taxidermists did the three mounts real quick because it was right before Fred Hall Long Beach, and all three fish showed up at Fred Hall Long Beach, and there was not even a comparison between the Lyons and O'Haver fish and the other two fish.
Yeah.
They do such a phenomenal job. You're going to be extremely happy with the work they do.
Well, that's what I hear.
Mike,
so,
did you
if it's a lifetime, might as well do it right.
That's right. Did you get the meat off that, Mike? I mean, did they fillet it, or no? They don't. They have to keep it whole, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't. They end up. What do they do with the meat then? They don't get to use it, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I guess not.
Yeah.
that's the sad part.
They make a mold of
right.
the fish, and I think that's the end of the.
That's
product.
The yeah. Because yeah. I mean, at that point, there's not a mold. There's no mold that's ever been around that could compare to a 405-pound fish. Let's face it, there is no mold for that fish.
Right.
Exactly. So, Tim, take us through what it was like. You said you were in the galley when Mike hooked up, right?
I just got a glass of water, and I was walking out to the back rail, and he just got hooked up. And from there, it kept running and running and running.
And you went right to his side at that point?
Yeah, I believe he was the only one that was that had a fish going right when he got bit. I don't think anybody else was hooked up. And from there on out, you know,
yeah,
we fought it and got it to the boat.
And Mike, you were talking, that was just a regular sardine. You went to the bait tank there and right. And
oh, absolutely. You know, when all my days fishing in Oxnard with Gordy Stark and the greats up there, you know, we always, hey man, grab the biggest bait in the bait tank. Well, I did that for about a day and a half and didn't come up with much luck. So I actually grabbed one that was kind of medium-sized one there and kept up with that big hook, which Timmy talked me into keeping on. You know, I kind of got discouraged. I was going to drop down. And
that 9-0, huh?
So luckily, I kept that big 9-0 on there and got bit on that kind of, you know, one of the smaller baits.
That's amazing. So, okay, so now, Tim, you walk down, you get to his side, and then the fight is on, huh?
The reel's going, and it's not stopping anytime soon. It started to heat up a little bit, and he went past half a spool and went down even farther, and it stopped for a little bit and kind of took a break and then kept going even farther. And we got it down to about 120 yards of Spectra left on there, and I said, you know what, I think it's time for us to bump this drag up.
Yeah.
Move the strike.
Yeah, move the strike. So that's what you did, Mike. You went from how many pounds to what? What do you figure? I know you've said this, but what do you figure your drag was set at, and then you moved it up?
I think we were at 16 or 18, and then we moved it up to, I think, you know, I tried to set it at about 26.
Yeah.
So we were at 26 for a while.
Yeah, that, and he was still pulling even at that? Or was he?
Well, when we bumped it up to... When we bumped it up to the 26, it made a beeline right back for us. And we gained about 150 yards directly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's when we knew the backup probably wasn't going to be needed.
Yeah. Because you guys had a backup reel ready to go, huh?
We did.
Oh, that's so good you didn't get to use that. You didn't have to use that because now the IGFA has no qualms. There should be no reason why this fish can't be the all-tackle record.
In our eyes, we fully agree with that.
Yeah. Isn't that right, Mike? I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, somebody asked me, well, don't you rail? I said, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. You just had that harness, and Tim confirmed it, not even a bead of sweat.
It wasn't, you know, it was, well, first of all, I mean, I think I hooked that up. I had a sweatshirt on, and to me, because I think you're going to take that sweatshirt off, you know. And really, you know, it was probably in the middle 60s, low 60s when I hooked it up. So, uh-huh. You know, it wasn't exactly, warm day in the tropics there on Tuesday.
Right.
It did warm up, but it was a little bit, a little bit on the colder side when we were fishing Monday and Tuesday. The wind was up a little, and it dropped down on that Tuesday afternoon, actually.
Interesting. Man, And you sat back in that harness and fought it, and at what point did you realize you had it? I mean, you started circling, I guess, after a little bit, and like it always does, like the tuna shuffle or tuna circle. I mean,
that little death circle that they do. He started circling just before we got that top shot back on. We were fighting for that knot, went in and out a couple of times, and we wanted to get that on the reel, you know, get that knot on the reel and get the mono on the reel, and that's when he. I think he went from the port side to the starboard corner after that, and then that's where we finished him.
On the starboard corner.
Right. And, it was really funny because, you think in your mind, you're looking at it and realizing, geez, I got a lot of line to go here, you know. And then you're not thinking that here's this huge monster compressing that Spectre to about two-thirds of, you know, the size of what you started out with. And Timmy goes, well, there's the mono. Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear you. And the classic line, I said, well, what's that Albright look like? And he goes, well, it looked a whole lot better on the reel.
Oh, yeah. That's a nervous moment, isn't it?
And absolutely.
Especially when you get it on there and then the thing takes a little run and it goes back off and you go, oh, man.
Yeah. Makes your heart stop for a second there.
Does.
Yeah, and then at some point we pushed it to full. I mean, I pushed that thing to full, and I'll tell you, again, I was in that gaining, spot there. I got a couple 25, 30 yards back, and I promised Bill I wouldn't tell anybody else this because, you know, he took the story at the dock, but honest, I got bit, and that thing did pull me to my fingertips when it ran the first time on full.
Wow.
I mean, on my fingertips, on my tiptoes. And so it was quite an experience there for a minute, but it cooperated. I mean, really, you know, as Tim said, it went corner to corner. We went up once. I pulled toward the, you know, Tim said, I know this sounds silly, but pulled toward the anchor because this thing's going to go the opposite way you want it to go, and it absolutely went right back in the corner. So
you told them to do that, never, Tim, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, they're like young kids. If you tell them not to do something, they're going to do it. So.
But, you know, I think part of the the reason that I got the fish in was I had never caught one this big. I caught a number of, you know, 80, 90 pound fish. I got 100 pound fish last year, but you know I didn't have any preconceived notion of how to reel one of these things in. You know, I listened to the seminar, and you know but I'll tell you when the last thing he does, he's okay now. Along with that, you know, you're getting 5 feet. He's getting 2 back. You know, we can't do this much longer. We got to kill him now. So, as he goes out, you just grab the spool. So that was the, you know, that goes against everything I hold holy. Yeah. But I did it, and eventually the thing came up. The first time I saw it, it popped up in that starboard corner about, what would you say, Tim, 10 or 12 feet out, and then we
right.
gave it a couple of cranks, and the boys took over. So it was. It was quite a feeling, I'll tell you.
Mike, what's the most unusual media you've heard from? Any unusual magazines or television shows or anything like that?
Well, you know, I guess Mike. I read off Mike's website that we were the Queen kind of saw the story when she got up in London Tuesday, or I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday morning. So I thought we didn't hear from them. They just had the story, and my daughter, who is a works for the Braille Institute and is a kind of a PR person, she went online and got it, and the great story. And I don't remember which London paper it was, but they carried the whole thing. They had pictures of the cart and the whole nine yards.
And it went on the Drudge Report. We were talking about that earlier, and that just went international to Italy and the whole, you know, all over the world. In London, the Queen picked up it. She read it over her morning tea. How about that? Awesome, man.
Great thought.
yeah, really, really terrific. And you know, we talked about all the captains that have gone for this fish and all the anglers. I mean, over the years, I mean, you know, Mickelson and all the guys now, all the guys that go out there every year, 5-6 times a year, right, John? They're going for this holy grail of a fish.
Yeah, even just the guys on the trip watching them fish all day every day for 3 or 4 straight days, you know, just to be dedicated like that. These guys do it. We look at fish like this for 20-30 years.
Exactly.
You know, it makes
right. John said 6 decades basically, right?
Yeah, well,
that we've been going to, since Lee Palm started going to the islands. Yeah. And you said 33 years since that 388.
Yeah.
So I guess this is the fourth decade to break that, but yeah. I mean, the whole concept of going to those islands was to fish big fish. Just the problem when we first started, we were using black pen 6-0s and 9-0s. It was single speed. It was a whole different ball game. But anyways, Mike, that's an incredible story. Did a great job. And you know, every one of those fish acts differently, and you know, I've seen quite a few of them caught, good ones, and I always thought, and well, we've all thought the same thing, we've all talked about it, that to get you know what you got, it was going to have to be the perfect situation. It was going to have to act the way that fish of yours acted. You know, some are harness friendly, and that one was, where you could stay in that harness and he stays out and he stays in the back, and he's not one of those fish that goes up and down underneath the anchor rope 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And I mean, everything seemed to just work in your favor. And man, you were the right guy at the right time. And congratulations so much.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, as I said, he only went up once, and we just kind of held our breath that he didn't make a lunge. And you know, as I said, it was great to be out there and catch that fish with my friends. And many of those guys I fished with before, and certainly, you know, Timmy and I go back since he started, and Mike even farther back than that. And it's just, I feel like, you know, if you're going to do it, that great atmosphere, great opportunity for us to be on the boat with him.
It's like a family, isn't it, Mike? your family away from your family, you know, family away from home, kind of. You know, you get on the boat, and like Tim, you were saying, everybody was working together. It was a good bunch of 16 guys, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are a lot of our long time passengers. You know, they're all getting along with each other, and it was just a great trip.
That's why it happened, man. You know, you're tied to this fish forever, Mike. You and Tim and Mike Lackey and the Vagabond. Who knows? We may look at another 30, 40 years before this record's broken. Then again, it could be broken next week, right?
That's right. And you know what? I'd come down to watch it.
I'll bet you would. I'll bet you would. We'll definitely be there. But I hope it lasts a while, Mike. I hope you've had your moment, you know, and I hope your moment lasts a long time for all of you guys, for Tim and Mike Lackey and everybody on the Vagabond.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks
for taking the time, and congratulations, Mike.